Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really digging into artificial intelligence in education, getting past the hype to see what's actually happening on the ground. And think about this for a second. ChatGPT, it hit 100 million users in just 2 months.
2 months? That's incredible speed.
Right. I mean, TikTok took 9 months to get there, so the scale of adoption is just staggering.
Absolutely staggering.
And the point is, AI isn't some future tech anymore. It's right here, right now, in schools, on kids' phones, their laptops. It's fully embedded. So our mission today, it's not really if AI belongs in schools. That ship has sailed, hasn't it?
It really has. The question now is how.
Exactly. How do we integrate it ethically, effectively? How do we make sure it actually prepares students for, well, the world they're already living in?
And that's such a crucial shift in thinking. You know, those initial reactions, the outright bans, they were frankly a bit foolish and just doomed to fail.
Impractical, yeah.
Completely. And the numbers show why. We're seeing nearly 70% of students using these large language models, LLMs, at least somewhat frequently.
70%.
And get this, 58% are using them nearly every day for schoolwork. That's massive.
Yeah.
Our sources today really give us a comprehensive picture of this whole landscape.
Well, okay, so with that reality check firmly in place, today we're going to unpack the amazing potential here, but also the really serious challenges. And most importantly, we'll look at concrete strategies. How do we actually navigate this? You'll get the full story, the pedagogical promise, yes, but also the urgent need for new rules, new ways of doing things. So let's start with just how pervasive this AI tidal wave really is. We said it's here, but let's put some more numbers on it. It's not just students. Generative AI is being used by 86% of education organizations.
86%. That's actually the highest rate across any industry.
Higher than tech, higher than finance.
Wow. Okay.
And what's really interesting is how it's happening. This isn't like the old days of ed tech, you know, interactive whiteboards pushed from the top down.
Right. District mandates and things.
What?
Exactly. This is largely bottom up. It's students. It's teachers finding these tools online, tools that are easy to use, powerful, and often free, at least initially. So the schools, the institutions, they're often reacting, trying to catch up to something that's already widespread in the consumer world.
And students are definitely finding uses. 85% use AI for brainstorming. That seems pretty harmless, maybe even helpful.
Sure, brainstorming, outlining. 63% use it for outlines. That seems like a reasonable scaffold.
But then you get to this, 35%. A third of students admit they've used AI to write full essays or assignments.
And that's the number that gives educators pause, right?
Yeah.
It highlights this adoption literacy gap.
Explain that gap a bit more.
Well, you have this super high usage, like we said. But then you look at understanding. Less than half of educators and students feel they actually knew a lot about AI. That's from a recent Microsoft report.
Less than half using it daily know much about it.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And another report, HEPI, found only a third of students got any formal training on AI from their school. So you have this mismatch. Powerful tools in everyone's hands, but limited understanding of how they work, their limits, their biases, that's a huge risk.
Leading to what kind of problems?
Everything from accidental plagiarism because they don't know how to cite it, or even if they should cite it, to just uncritically accepting whatever the AI spits out, even if it's wrong or biased misinformation.
Okay. So the message for everyone listening, parents, teachers, students, policymakers, is pretty clear then. AI is here. It's deeply integrated. We have to stop talking about if and start strategizing how. Proactively, thoughtfully.
That's the essential takeaway. Prohibition isn't an option. Strategy is the only way forward.
All right, let's shift gears a bit. Beyond the worries, what's the potential upside? Where does AI offer maybe a truly positive transformation for learning? Because the promise isn't really about replacing teachers, is it? It's more about augmenting them.
Exactly. Augmenting educators, personalizing learning, supporting diverse student needs. That's the core idea. AI is a powerful tool, not a replacement for human connection and guidance.
So talk about that personalization aspect, AI as a personalized learning engine.
Yeah, this is something educators have dreamed about for decades, right? Truly individualized instruction. And now we have adaptive platforms, think Dreambox, Newton, that can actually analyze how a student is doing in real time. They adjust the difficulty, how the material is presented.
Tailoring it on the fly.
On the fly. And the results we're seeing, they're pretty compelling. Studies show students in these kinds of AI-enhanced programs, scoring up to 54% higher on tests.
54%? That's huge.
It is, and improving outcomes by 30% overall, seeing 70% better course completion rates. It's not just scores, it's engagement too. Mm-hmm. 75% of students report feeling more motivated. Attendance goes up.
That kind of personalization, hitting those individual needs, that's powerful. But what about the teachers? You mentioned augmenting them. How does AI become their co-pilot?
Well, think about all the repetitive tasks that eat up a teacher's time. Grading simple quizzes, finding resources, drafting basic lesson plans.
The administrative burden.
Exactly. AI can automate a lot of that. We're seeing teachers already using it quite a bit. 44% for research, 38% for lesson planning, 37% creating materials like worksheets or presentations. Some estimates suggest this could save teachers between 7 and 10 hours a week.
Wow, 7 to 10 hours. That's nearly a full school day back in their week.
Imagine what they could do at that time.
More one-on-one with students. Deeper project work. Mentoring.
Precisely. Focusing on those high-impact, uniquely human things that make the biggest difference. Mentoring, complex discussions, building relationships, the stuff AI can't do. Plus, AI dashboards can give teachers quick, actionable insights. See who's struggling, where the learning gaps are, flag students who might be at risk.
So like an early warning system?
Exactly. Some places using these systems have even seen dropout rates fall by around 15%. It allows for timely intervention.
Okay, that's compelling. And beyond personalization and teacher support, what about accessibility and inclusion? You mentioned supporting diverse needs. How significant is AI's role there? Is it just better assistive tech or something more?
I think it's potentially transformative. We're moving beyond just accommodation to dynamic inclusion.
What does that look like in practice?
Think advanced text-to-speech for students with visual impairments or speech-to-text for those with hearing or physical challenges. Mm-hmm. Companies like Nuance, Nauta, Cook, they're doing amazing things there. AI can help students with executive function difficulties by breaking tasks down, managing schedules. There are AI-powered communication devices, AAC devices, for students with communication disorders.
Okay.
And even things like assistive robots, Lika, is one example, helping children with autism practice social interaction skills in a safe, predictable way.
So it's adapting in real time to specific needs.
Yes, and the U.S. Department of Education, the National Science Foundation, they're pouring research funding into this area. It's seen as a major frontier. If you connect the dots, AI really could help close some of those longstanding equity gaps we've struggled with in education for so long.
That's a really hopeful perspective, but okay, we have to address the elephant in the room, academic integrity. When tools like ChatGPT exploded, the immediate reaction was panic about cheating, right? And this scramble for AI detection software.
Oh, absolutely. A real crisis of confidence. Mm. And that led straight to the arms race of detection tools.
Which, as you hinted, didn't go so well.
It largely proved to be, well, a dead end. We call it the fallibility of the digital watchdog.
Yeah.
These tools claimed, 98%, 99% accuracy in their marketing. The reality, not even close.
How bad was it?
OpenAI, the makers of ChatGPT, they pulled their own detector because it just wasn't reliable. One independent study looked at various tools, and the best one was only about 50% accurate.
50%. That's a plane flip.
Exactly. It's practically useless. And worse, it's dangerous because of false positives.
Accusing innocent students.
Right. Think about it. Even a tiny 1% error rate in U.S. colleges could mean over 220,000 false accusations every single year. That's ethically horrifying. Even Turnitin, a big name in this space, admits their AI detection has a 4% sentence-level false positive rate. They explicitly advise schools not to use it for definitive judgments.
And on top of the inaccuracy, there's bias, isn't there? I read these detectors can flag work by non-native English speakers more often.
That's a huge problem. Algorithmic bias. Hmm. Because these tools are often trained on certain types of text, they can mistake linguistic differences, maybe simpler sentence structures, different vocabulary choices, as signs of AI generation.
So it penalizes students who are already potentially marginalized.
Precisely. And practically speaking, students figured out how to bypass these detectors almost immediately. Simple edits, using paraphrasing tools. The tech just can't keep up. It creates this weird integrity paradox. The tools encourage more sophisticated ways to cheat, while unfairly flagging honest students is just not viable.
So detection is out. What's the alternative then? If we can't reliably detect AI writing, how do we ensure integrity?
The only real path forward is to change assessment itself. We have to evolve how we measure learning.
designing for authenticity, as you put it earlier.
Exactly. This is actually a long overdue modernization, pushing us away from easily outsourced rote assignments. That 35% number of students admitting using AI for full essays tells us traditional essays are becoming less effective indicators of understanding.
So what do these AI-resistant assessments look like?
Well, incorporating more in-person elements is key. Supervised in-class writing, oral defenses or presentations where students have to explain their thinking. Data shows nearly half of teachers are already shifting towards more in-class writing and adding oral follow-ups.
Makes sense. What else?
Focusing on process, not just the final product. Scaffolding assignments break big projects into smaller steps. Proposal, annotated bibliography, draft, reflection.
Yeah.
This lets you see their thinking evolve. And personalization. Ask students to connect concepts to their own lives, their local community, recent events, things a generic large language model has no access to or context for.
So making the work inherently human and contextual.
That's the goal. It shifts the focus from preventing cheating to actually fostering deeper learning and critical engagement.
And it's not just about changing assignments, right? There's a cultural element too.
Absolutely. Cultivating a culture of integrity. This can't just be about punishment. It needs clear communication, clear expectations.
So how do schools do that effectively? How do you teach responsible use?
Well, leading universities, places like Vanderbilt, Cornell, Carnegie Mellon, they're developing really clear, course-specific AI policies. Not just a campus-wide ban, but guidance tailored to the subject. The key is education. Teaching students how to use these tools ethically, how to cite AI assistance properly, when it's okay to use it for brainstorming versus drafting, why transparency matters, and having open classroom discussions about AI's limitations, its potential biases, that itself builds critical thinking.
And clarifying what cheating even means now, because using it to brainstorm ideas,
which 85% of the students do,
is totally different from submitting an AI essay verbatim.
Exactly. We need clear lines, clear definitions, communicated openly. It's about building understanding, not just fear.
Okay, we've covered potential and integrity, but any responsible discussion has to grapple with the risks. And there are significant ones.
Oh, definitely. It's not all smooth sailing. A clear-eyed assessment of the challenges is crucial.
Where do we start? What's the biggest hurdle?
I'd argue equity is a major one, bridging the AI divide, but it's more complex now.
More complex than just access to computers and internet.
Yes. That's the first digital divide. The second is basic digital literacy. But now there's a potential third divide emerging with AI. Picture this. Affluent students might get access to premium, sophisticated AI tools, along with guidance from teachers and parents on how to use them for higher order thinking, creativity, complex problem solving.
Okay.
Meanwhile, disadvantaged students might only get access to basic, free tools, maybe with less guidance, and end up using them primarily for more superficial, rote learning tasks. Reports already indicate that male students, those in STEM fields, and those from higher socioeconomic backgrounds are more likely to be leveraging AI effectively. That gap could widen fast.
And woven into that is the bias issue again, right? Algorithmic bias baked into the tools themselves?
Yes. These systems learn from vast data sets, often reflecting existing societal biases. So an AI tool might perform worse with certain dialects or provide examples that aren't culturally relevant to all students. The U.S. Department of Education put out a stark warning saying algorithmic bias could diminish equity at scale with unintended discrimination. It's a serious concern.
Wow. Okay. Equity is huge. What's another major risk area?
Data privacy. Safeguarding student data in this new algorithmic age is paramount.
How is AI changing the game there?
One big issue is shadow AI. That's when students or even teachers use free consumer-grade AI tools that haven't been vetted or approved by the school.
And the data policies on those free tools are murky.
Often very opaque, yes. Where does the data go? Is it used to train the AI model? Are they complying with strict student privacy laws like FERPA in the U.S. or COPPA for younger kids? Often we just don't know. This risks data leakage, potential breaches, and violations of privacy regulations. Schools must rigorously vet any AI vendor they partner with, demand clear data sharing agreements, ensure student data isn't used commercially without explicit consent.
Treat it like medical records, essentially.
That's the guidance from the Department of Education. Treat it with that level of care. Plus, AI tools themselves can be targets or even creators of more sophisticated cyber attacks, like AI-generated phishing emails aimed at students or staff.
Okay, equity, privacy. Now let's tackle the big philosophical one. Does AI make us smarter or does it make us lazier? The critical thinking conundrum.
Yes, the million-dollar question. And honestly, the research here is mixed. There are valid points on both sides.
Let's hear the makes us lazier side first, the cognitive offloading argument.
Right. The concern is that if students constantly rely on AI to do the thinking, for them to summarize texts, solve problems, generate ideas, they don't build those critical thinking muscles themselves. It's cognitive offloading.
Mm.
Some studies do show a negative correlation between frequent AI use and critical thinking scores, particularly in the 17 to 25 age group.
Really? What kind of studies?
There was an interesting one from MIT using EEG brain scans. They found students relying heavily on ChatGPT showed the lowest levels of brain engagement during tasks. They often just copied and pasted. The study suggested they consistently underperformed at neural, linguistic, and behavioral levels. The worry is that offloading that mental effort actually weakens the neural pathways we need for independent analysis and problem solving. De-skilling, essentially.
Okay, that sounds pretty concerning. But you said it's mixed. What's the counter-argument that makes a smarter side?
The counter is that using AI effectively actually requires quite sophisticated critical thinking. It's not passive. Well, getting good results from AI often involves prompt engineering. Learning how to ask the right questions, how to refine your prompts, how to iterate. That's an analytical skill in itself. And AI can be used as a tool to enhance critical thinking. Think of it as a discussion partner.
Give me an example.
An educator could design an assignment where students use AI to generate counterarguments to their own thesis, and then they have to refute the AI's points. Or use AI as a simulated debate opponent. Or ask AI to provide data sets that the students then have to critically analyze for bias or flaws.
Ah, I see. Using it actively, not passively.
Exactly. And importantly, having those rich classroom discussions we talked about AI's limitations, its ethical implications, spotting its biases that process inherently builds critical thinking and digital literacy skills. So the conclusion many are reaching isn't to ban it, but to teach mastery. Teach students how to use it thoughtfully, critically, and ethically.
Okay, so we have this complex picture. Huge potential, serious risks like equity and privacy, debates about critical thinking, the failure of detection. Given all that, how do schools actually move forward? How do they build a practical, responsible strategy for AI integration? What's the blueprint?
It really starts with a clear, comprehensive AI policy that provides the essential guardrails.
What are the key components, the pillars of a good policy?
I'd say there's several core pillars. First, human oversight and agency. This is non-negotiable. AI assists, it supports, it supplements. It does not replace human judgment, especially for important decisions like final grades or student support interventions.
Humans stay in the loop.
Absolutely. Second, data privacy and security. This means strict adherence to laws like FERPA and COPPA, really rigorous vetting of any third-party AI tools, demanding transparency from vendors about data use specifically, no using student data to train commercial models without explicit informed consent.
Makes sense. What else?
Third, equity and bias mitigation. Schools need processes to scrutinize tools for potential biases before adoption, demand transparency from vendors on how they address fairness, and probably conduct regular audits of how AI is being used and its impact on different student groups.
Proactive equity checks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fourth, transparency and communication. Clear, accessible policies for students, teachers, and parents about what's allowed, what's not, ethical expectations, and crucially, how to cite AI use appropriately.
No hidden rules.
Right. And finally, fifth, structured usage guidelines. Don't just say AI is allowed or AI is banned. Provide specific guidance. Some districts are using a stoplight system.
Stoplight, red, yellow, green.
Exactly. Red means prohibited maybe for major exams. Yellow means permitted with disclosure, like using it for brainstorming or first drafts. Green means encouraged perhaps for specific research tasks or using approved learning tools. There's also more granular AI assessment scale some are using, level 1 to 5, for even finer control depending on the learning goal.
That sounds practical. Are there schools actually doing this well already? Can we learn from the pioneers?
Yes, absolutely. There are some great examples emerging. Let's look at a few case studies. Dublin City Schools in Ohio is a standout. They wanted to roll out Magic School, an AI tool for teachers. They achieved over 90% teacher adoption.
How? That level of buy-in is rare.
Their key was focusing on teacher AI literacy first. They ran a pilot program, provided tons of professional development, built trust and confidence among educators before even thinking about student use. Teacher buy-in drove success.
Smart. Teacher first. Who else?
West Vancouver Schools in British Columbia. They foster what they called a culture of yes, encouraging teacher-led experimentation. Their focus was on AI super literacy, not just knowing how to use the tool, but critically evaluating its output, understanding its limits.
Beyond just technical skill. Critical engagement.
Exactly. And they scale that approach district-wide. Then you have Zionsville Community Schools in Indiana. They also did a phased rollout, teachers first, creating a sort of walled garden of approved tools for eventual student use. They really emphasized equity, using AI to provide consistent writing feedback for all students. And cool example, their sixth graders were interviewing historical figures using AI chatbots as part of a project.
That's creative.
Yeah. And Mason City Schools in Iowa is another example of being proactive with policy development and PD, using instructional coaches to help teachers find practical ways to use AI, like generating diverse writing prompts for different student levels.
So common themes seem to be teacher focus first, professional development, clear policies, and often starting small or phased rollout.
Precisely. Build capacity and trust before wide-scale deployment.
Now, you mentioned Magic School. Are there specific tools designed for education that schools are finding particularly useful?
Yes, a couple really stand out because they were built with pedagogical principles in mind. Magic School is one we just mentioned. It was founded by a former principal, designed specifically as an AI assistant for educators.
Helping with lesson plans, rubrics, that workload reduction piece.
Exactly. Lesson planning, differentiating materials, generating assessments, writing emails to parents. It aims to save teachers time. And importantly, they also offer Magic Student, which is a version designed to be K-12 safe, with privacy guardrails built in for student exploration.
Okay, that sounds purpose-built. What's another one?
KhanMigo. This is Khan Academy's AI-powered tutor. What's interesting here is its core philosophy.
Which is?
It's built around the Socratic method. It tries not to just give students the answer. Instead, it asks guiding questions, gives hints, prompts them to think through the problem themselves.
So it's designed to foster critical thinking, not replace it.
That's the explicit goal. And it seems to be working. They've seen huge user growth, and data suggests it's effective in getting students, particularly in math, to practice more and engage more deeply with the concepts.
Okay, so purpose-built tools are emerging that try to align with sound educational practices. So wrapping this all up, this deep dive really underscores something crucial, doesn't it? AI in schools, when done right, isn't about technology replacing people.
Not at all.
It's about amplifying the human element. Feels like a fundamental shift, maybe even a watershed moment for education.
I think it is. And trying to resist it, as we discussed, it's just not practical. More than that, it's a disservice to students who will need AI literacy in their future careers and lives. It's becoming a baseline competency.
Mm-hmm.
The objective isn't some sterile automated classroom. It's a human-centered classroom, enhanced by AI. Let the machines handle the machine-like tasks.
Freeing up the human.
To do what only humans can do. Mentor, inspire, challenge, connect, facilitate that deep, collaborative, messy process of real learning.
So, for everyone listening, you should now have a clearer map for understanding this next phase of the educational revolution. Whether it's leveraging personalization, tackling integrity, ensuring equity, or fostering critical thinking, the path forward seems to be about thoughtful, ethical, and strategic stewardship of these powerful new tools.
Stewardship is a great word for it.
And here's a final thought to leave you with. If AI can push us to fundamentally rethink something as ingrained as assessment, if it can help us truly measure individual student growth, and if it can unlock our most valuable human resource teacher time, imagine, what other long-standing complex challenges, maybe even beyond education, could we begin to transform if we embrace this kind of intelligent human-machine collaboration?
That's a powerful question to ponder.
We certainly hope this deep dive has given you plenty to think about. Until next time, keep digging, keep questioning, and keep learning.